we've got Gene Bolduc here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing, Not a Thing. Yes, Thing, Not a Thing. Everyone's favorite game show which Gene and I take a look at the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide if they are, in fact, things or if they are not really things.
And we laugh outrageously.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. At people losing their thing over stuff that's not really a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, this week, three things. State of the Union is number two. No, State of the Union is number three. No, State of the Union is number two, because I think we can knock that out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Number three
is... It was
full
of number two, that's right.
Yeah, the Devin Nunes memo.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Trump's approval rating is up this week. Thing or not a thing?
I think that's not a thing.
I think that's not a thing,
I think that's
too,
a sugar high thing that just comes from being on TV in State of the Union.
Yeah.
People who watch State of the Union, a lot of people watch State of the Union who pay no attention to politics the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel it's almost like a civic duty to sit there and watch the president, you know, make his, and say, who's the guy sitting behind him, because they don't know who the VP is.
Right.
So I think that's very much a low information political crowd. And I think that's probably reflected in approval ratings. The fact that he got through the speech without fainting or cursing or, you know, doing anything really outrageous.
Remember back when conservatives ripped on Barack Obama for reading off a teleprompter every time he
gave
a speech?
Good times.
As if every other president since the invention of the teleprompter hadn't been doing that too.
Yeah, good times. I was trying to think of how many times a Democrat would have yelled out "You lie" if they actually yelled out every time he lied.
Yeah. There was some legit booing during that speech.
There was.
Too.
There was one beautiful moment of booing.
I did not listen to or watch the speech. I always read the transcript afterwards because it saves you a lot of those.
Yeah, it's probably noted in the transcript, though, that there was a crowd reaction.
Yeah.
Is there a note in the transcript
about
that?
No, there wasn't. Because
it was enough that there should have been.
The White House releases the transcript.
Well,
so
you're lucky
it's just,
if the whole speech is in there in that case.
It's just the text. With no, but it is a lot of fun to read transcripts with the annotated audience reactions. This is how we get the Lincoln Douglas debates now. If you've ever read the Lincoln Douglas debates, they're printed by what we have are the newspaper accounts of the speeches, and usually because partisan journalism is a grand old American tradition. Back in the 1850s, it was either a Democratic newspaper or a Republican newspaper.
Right.
So depending on the newspaper, they either emphasized the Lincoln boos and the Douglas cheers, or the Douglas boos and the Lincoln cheers. But it was it's real fun to listen to, like, the heckling that that the audience members are shouting at these two.
That should be dramatized. Who would play Lincoln? Surely it would be Donald Trump. America's second favorite Republican.
Daniel Day-Lewis isn't doing movies anymore after Phantom Thread. He can put on the beard again.
You feel like he's retired?
He said he was retired.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
A long time ago.
What was I paying attention to
instead of politics or something important? Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I just thought after Lincoln, he should have just dropped the mic and walked away. I think he was Lincoln.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he isn't Lincoln. What did he say when he accepted his Oscar how ironic it was for him to get an Oscar for that role when it was an actor who killed Lincoln. Wow. It's true.
I don't think that was at the top of his mind. I'm a little surprised that it was at the top of
yours. That's what he said. I'm not making it up. I'm not the president, after all. I didn't make that up.
That's true. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the actual content of the State of the Union, thing or not a thing. Yeah, also not
absolute
a thing.
Snooze fest. Totally typical, you know, State of the Union. I mean, it was actually one of the things that was kind of encouraging in its own way, is that the State of the Union speech itself is a speech that's written by committee. There's not a drop of passion in it. It's written by all the departments of government and sort of strung together with one hopes transition sentences, and strewn this year, I think, a little more so than usual with, and in the gallery is this brave American who's been through a terrible thing. But, you know, in terms of the speech having, you know, anything that you looked at and walked away with and said, I'm now going to change my life because of hearing this speech. Forget it. I mean, and it was too long. I mean, are they not able to hire an editor at the White House?
Maybe they did.
An hour and 20 minutes? Good grief. What was it before the editor got to
it? Maybe that was the edited script.
It probably was.
Yeah.
Although, you know, some of his phrasing and delivery suggested to me that it wasn't really written for his voice.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't written for his voice.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't any, I'm the greatest.
It's difficult to write. I mean, and I know, and this is not even just the Donald Trump thing. This is just in general, when you have a speaker who's got a really distinctive style, it's hard to write in that voice and have it sound anything remotely.
Right, right. Although Obama's speechwriters did manage usually to capture his cadence pretty well.
Okay.
And at times, George Bush's speechwriters, he delivered a couple of speeches that were stunningly terrific. They were very well written, and they were written appropriately for how he speaks. It's hard to do that work. I've done some of that work myself for a boss, and, you know, he would come back and say, I really sounded good. You know, thanks.
That's good praise.
Yeah, because nobody else is going to know that I wrote that stuff for him.
Point number three, this Nunes memo, thing not a thing.
Well, I'm going to quote the great sage Rick Wilson, who said on Twitter today that memo was a fart in a hurricane. And I think that that's accurate. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have read the memo, and it's really...
I have not read it. I haven't paid attention to it. I haven't read it.
Well, it just came out this afternoon,
right.
and after it crashed the House's... server, its website, came back up, and I was able to download it and read it. And wow, it's the most oversold. You know, President Hannity on Fox News screaming bloody murder about this thing, saying that this is the biggest thing since Watergate and so forth. I mean, apparently he doesn't know anything about Watergate. I mean, it is an apartment complex and a hotel. Maybe he should have had more information about it. But the other sage observation I would note that is encouraging to me is that none other than Trey Gowdy tweeted this afternoon, and he's read the underlying documents and supporting information that's top secret. And he said that he has 100% confidence, continues to, in Robert Mueller, and this has exactly no impact on his investigation whatsoever. So,
which
if you've
to
lost
his
Trey Gowdy,
credit,
I think you've lost your cause.
Paul Ryan also said the same thing yesterday.
He absolutely did, and I will give him. Yeah. I will give him that. I think that I've said all this week, let's see if they really release it. The power of this kind of thing is if they keep it secret.
Right,
and they can refer to it.
Like
in
the fact
best
that this whole thing got drawn out for so long.
Yeah, and I really thought that's what they were going to do, but they did not. They stupidly released it, and there's just nothing there.
Well, this is Trump is not a strategist. He wants to throw out the information that he thinks is going to make him look good, but he's not. He's not playing five-dimensional chess. He's thinking about...
In the press spray this morning, they asked him, you know, do you still have confidence in Rosenstein? And what, you know, is what's this going to do? And he said, all I said is it's a disgrace, you know, what's happening with the FBI and what this means in our country and all kinds of stuff so generic that when I heard it, I said, oh, my God, he still hasn't read it. He still hasn't read it. He has no idea what's in it.
Oh, he may not have. It is a really fascinating thing. The fact that all of this, the discrediting of the FBI, the Justice Department, law enforcement in general, is all part of this twofold attempt to discredit the Mueller investigation,
to
obviously,
shut it down,
first,
right.
But also every time the FBI or the Justice Department or law enforcement does anything that is at odds with Trump's agenda or right. anything along those lines are going to have this exact same pushback and attempt to discredit, which suggests that there is a larger effort. And I know I just got done saying he's only thinking about the next step. So I don't think it's this, like, I don't think he's got a 50-point master plan here, but he wants the FBI.
He's 49 points short of
right.
that.
But this is a guy who would love it if the FBI were just purged of anyone who's not an avowed Trump loyalist. So it's his department, his bureau, his everything.
Secret
which is
police.
Fundamentally anti-democratic, anti-American. And if he gets any further along those lines, it does trigger a constitutional crisis. And I hope to hell that Republicans in Congress actually get on board with that if
you,
the situation
Aaron,
arises.
I think the constitutional crisis is already here.
You
have
think?
The president attacking his own FBI.
I think he can. I think
there
he can,
is no remedy for that.
I think he can say whatever he wants. The question is, like, when he starts firing people.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, I think one of the reasons for the discredit strategy is that he knows he can't fire anybody else.
Right.
He's got to be done with that.
Right.
And that he knows he's going to have to go get with and meet with Mueller and probably take the fifth, I guess.
We'll see how all of that plays out. The fascinating thing, all of that said, is that here is a case where the government is actively opposed to the FBI.
Yeah.
And look at the sides that people are taking on that.
That's
was it
really
you who
inside
posted
out.
On Facebook the like the thing that
on the overpass
on the
said,
overpass
God bless
like God
the
bless
FBI.
The FBI said, and that's like an anti-government post.
Well, and I said I said this is where we are. This is a protest sign.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's really interesting. I do think we're going to stop hearing all the bragging about the stock market, which took a 600-point hit today.
Was it 600?
That's the last it was when I got out of my car.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Could be 7.
Yeah.
We'll see what it is when it closes.
We'll see.
But, you know,
that might be a one-day thing.
Does he get credit
we'll see
for
next
that?
Week.
Does he get credit for that?
He gets credit for everything, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
He gets credit. I mean, and that's also not a thing because
it's not.
Neither the shooting up of the stock market
right.
nor the inevitable recession that will come at some point in the near or distant future has much of anything
right.
to do with Donald Trump. But as the president, you get credit when the economy goes up. You get credit when the economy goes down. It's not fair either way, but that's how it is.
It's also Janet Yellen's last day today, I think. So.
Oh, really?
I think
that's
right.
Oh, is that maybe why the...
It could be. I
was
think
wondering
that's
about
right.
that. Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Well, actually, just for the last time, I promise, for a little while.
Is it me?
It's Aaron Keck with an encore performance of our New Year's Eve program, and then we'll be back in 1 week with a great interview I did yesterday with Mark Margopoulos. So everybody just stand by for that.
Sounds
it's coming
good.
Soon.
Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Thank you.